This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
This week, my guest on Off the Shelf is Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger. It's good to be here.
This week's show, I think we're going to do, we do this about just about quarterly, where we talk a little bit procurement issues, what's been going on from Carolyn's perspective. We'll also talk a little bit about the Coalition for Government Procurement Spring Conference that was held last Wednesday, April 17th. And Carolyn, I know you played a big part in putting together the conference, and we had a great dialogue amongst government and industry. And I just, I guess, first of all, what were some of your observations from it and highlights?
I think one of the best things about the conference is that we were able to bring together some key officials from some of the large buying agencies in government with our members. One of the core principles of the coalition, of course, is to have a robust dialogue with government in order to ensure that we have a well-operating acquisition system. And I was very happy that we were able to achieve that dialogue at the spring conference.
Right. Some of the speakers included Joe Jordan, the administrator for federal procurement policy, Shay Assad, the director of pricing at DOD, Iris Cooper is the executive director, Office of Acquisition Operations at the VA, Tom Sharp, the FAS commissioner, and Elliot Branch from the Department of Navy's deputy assistant secretary. And also Mike Smith from Department of Homeland Security. So, we had a great, that was one panel, in fact, except Shay spoke separately, but that panel of stakeholders on strategic acquisition was one of the highlights of the conference. And, from your perspective, listening to that session, the thing that I got out of it was sort of one size doesn't fit all with regard to strategic acquisition. Each of the agencies are taking, are looking at their requirements to a certain extent and trying to figure out the best way to do it.
Yeah. I think one of the exciting things about the panel was that we did have, those are probably the largest buying agencies in government. So just to have them there, I think, was very exciting. But also over the last year or so, the coalition has talked a lot about strategic sourcing. And one of the conversations has been broadening the definition of strategic sourcing. So we're not always focused on just the price point, but having a broader look at all of the facets of acquisition. And I think one of the things that was very encouraging to me about the panel was to see the fact that the government is moving to a point where it's considering other aspects of cost savings other than just focus on the price point.
Right. And to that point, Carolyn, the thing that always strikes me is thinking about the total acquisition cost or total cost of acquisition for a procurement. And one of the concerns I know out there generally in the procurement community was that there's such a focus on the price point, the question sort of is what are the other factors involved in trying to figure out the overall cost of government? And I likened it to sort of like an iceberg, right, to a certain extent. The price point is what you see above the water, but there's a whole lot of moving parts, below the water that drive costs to the government and to industry as well. And, trying to figure out the best way to, have an efficient and effective system that delivers best value outcomes, it was interesting to hear that, you know, different sort of approaches at different agencies.
Right. And I think it was Joe Jordan who actually mentioned the impact of terms and conditions. You know, it's not just, you know, you have to look at how the government is buying, what it is asking for in its solicitation to really determine the cost to industry. And those costs aren't just absorbed by industry. They're typically passed along in the prices that they offer to the government. So there was an acknowledgement that terms and conditions do impact price, and that one of the things that the government will look at or should look at is the cost of certain terms that are being requested. And I know that you, Roger, have often focused on the information requirements that turn up in some of those terms and conditions.
Right, the data collection requirements, mm-hmm. which are, you know, understandably is an element of strategic, you know, acquisition or strategic sourcing. But, you know, the concern that, you know, many of us have in that regard is, you know, what data is being collected? Does it make, you know, sense from an operational perspective? The data that the government asked contractors to report, and also, you know, a sense of what is the data actually being used for. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there is that is always a concern, and the better the government can articulate what it's actually going to use the data for and has dialogue with contractors or with the, you know, private sector about that, you know, there can be suggestions on, you know, well, it may be more effective to collect it this way, or this is actually mm-hmm. the data you really need if your goal is, you know, better, you know, business management of or demand management, that kind of thing. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the cost of information collection is something that the coalition has focused on over the past year. We look at this issue particularly as the government is developing various models for strategic sourcing. But we also look at it just in terms of policies that are being issued by the government. I know at least two or three times recently, we have commented on the impact in terms of burden on industry of various reporting requirements and clause provisions that the government has issued.
Yeah. Well, another area I wanted you to talk, I know that was touched on in that mm-hmm. particular panel is standardization. And there was conversation about, you know, to your point about mm-hmm. earlier about terms and conditions and how they can drive costs. There was also conversations about, you know, in a dialogue about standardizing terms and conditions. I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. You know, I think that standardization is a mixed bag. Certainly, if you can standardize and develop a good set of requirements, it gives industry partners an opportunity to develop a good solution and to price that solution reasonably. So from that standpoint, standardization is good. But there is a play between standardization and government-wide contracts. It is extremely difficult to have a standard that is going to be good for every government agency because the missions of government agencies vary so dramatically. One of the things that we have recommended is that the government look not towards standardization across the entire government, but that they utilize programs like the GSA schedules and like the GWACs to allow agencies to come up with their own packages of standardization that will be good for their agency, because we found that the closer that you get to the actual requirement, the better the technical standards are and the more realistic they are.
Right. And you know, and from that perspective, also standardization in a certain sense potentially limits you know, access to commercial products and services. Mm-hmm. And it does that, you know, in my view, because, you know, companies have to consciously change, you know, the terminology, the way they go to market in a certain sense to meet the standardization requirements. I think more of that in potentially in the services arena.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, commercial solutions can vary dramatically within a company and certainly across companies. And I think the ideal is to standardize within a set of commercially available services or commercially available products. The problem with standardization is when the government starts to build in government unique requirements
right.
into their standardization. And there will be some instances where the government has some unique requirements, and you know that's it. You have to buy, the government has to acquire what it actually needs. But there are sometimes when government builds on unique requirements when it's not really necessary. One of the things that
Carolyn, you know what? It's necessary to take a break right now. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And we'll continue our conversation on strategic sourcing and also turn to a little bit about terms and conditions in government contracts. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Carolyn Alston. Carolyn is the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Carolyn, when we took the break, you were talking a little bit more about, finishing a thought about standardization and the balance, I think, mm-hmm. you were about between standardization and unique requirements.
Yeah. Yes, Roger. To the extent that the government can, I think that they should eliminate government unique requirements. There are so many commercially available solutions and products. And to the extent that the government can standardize within a subset of commercial solutions, I think it allows industry to offer good solutions at a reasonable cost. And when industry saves, those savings are typically passed on to the government.
Right, as part of a competitive procurement.
Exactly.
The better out. And I guess if with that in mind, when Shehzad spoke at the conference, he invited sort of feedback from the coalition, from the attendees as to, processes, procedures, terms and conditions, et cetera, that I guess I would use, I'm going to paraphrase it, that increased costs where the costs outweigh the benefits, or unnecessarily increased costs to the government, or increased transactional costs in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an area I think where there are a number, I'd use the old cliche, it's like shooting fish in a barrel, right? But, I'll give you the first shot at it, theoretically, I guess. What areas would you, because that is something that we are going to follow up and with Shea on his invitation.
Okay. I think that Shea's comments were actually prompted by a question from the floor. I think his comments were along the lines of the various ways that the government was looking at lowering the cost of acquisition. And he was primarily focused on the issues of standardization. And the question is, should the government look beyond that? Because terms and conditions and government unique requirements have been raising the cost of acquisition. And he did invite the participants to let him know if there were areas where industry felt that we could, the government could reduce the cost of acquisition. And I think that's interesting because we have, the coalition has on a number of occasions looked at terms and conditions where we thought the elimination could reduce the cost of acquisition. But also, I think that this requires an effort from not only industry, but for government, because there are so many little things that can happen in an acquisition to increase costs. And I think one of the examples that we have a lot of furniture members of our association. And some of the things that they often talk to us about are things as simple as a half inch on the size of a table, the type of veneer. Is it going to be wood or is it going to be cherry? And I think what has to happen is that, what I would like to see happen, is that a message go out to government buyers just as clearly as they are told to leverage the price point down. It would be great if they were also told, look at every requirement you have and see if you can live with a commercial standard.
Right. So, I mean, to your point about furniture, is the government was specifying something that was sort of inconsistent with standard commercial mm-hmm. practice, or commercial specs, or whatever, however you want to say mm-hmm. it. And that in and of itself increases costs to those manufacturers. They've got to do special manufacturing run, theoretically, right, to meet the government's requirement outside the norm, which is the exact opposite of the intent of commercial item contracting.
Exactly.
Which is, the idea is, yeah, I can take it right off the commercial line, and there mm-hmm. it is, and I haven't had to make unique adjustments to meet some government-specific requirement.
Exactly.
One of the things that that struck me, with regard to Shea's invitation is and immediately came to mind, is contract duplication as an area where costs could be, targeted, unnecessary costs with regard to acquisition. And, with that in mind, that is something that the coalition has commented on. I know mm-hmm. it was almost 18 months ago or so. Right around there, DOD actually put out a notice in the Federal Register seeking public comment on, pursuant to the Better Buying Initiative, on management, initiatives or areas where they could reduce costs. And at that mm-hmm. time, we actually wrote back and said, this is contract duplication is a big area. And, just for the listeners, contract duplication, from our perspective, is, could be horizontal in that there's multiple contracts across the government for the same or similar type requirements, whether it's services or products. Each agency has its, government contract, and rather than using GWACs or schedules or, something like C4D theoretically across DOD, mm-hmm. That's one area. And there's also horizontal duplication with, schedules, and then a blanket purchase agreement, then a task order under the blanket purchase agreement, and whereas they could have gone right from the schedule to the task order competition and skipped the BPA mm-hmm. and got the same result. Those are a couple areas that I think that there's great opportunities for the government to save money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, we, over the years, there's been a lot of discussion about the horizontal duplication. I think we've just recently become more focused on the vertical duplication as the strategic sourcing initiatives have developed, because most of the strategic sourcing initiatives are built on existing contracts, primarily the schedules. And as a second layer, the typical strategy has been to negotiate a government-wide BPA. So that's a second level of competition. But as the requirements are developed, there's not a lot of information at the government-wide BPA level, because requirements are still unknown. In fact, even users are still unknown, never mind location and other specifics. So then a third level of a competition is required at the task order stage.
Under the BPA.
And each time the government goes out to compete, it costs the government and it costs industry. So there's the very opportunity that the government is seeking, which is to lower its cost through lower prices, is being lost by all the various levels of competition that are required.
Right. And I think that's probably, and I get your feedback on mm-hmm. it, but it's probably even more apparent when you talk about services, because, when you're buying a professional service or, you know, some sort of service requirement. It is truly, it's true for products too, but it's, you know, but at the BPA level and the government wide, it really is. There's no specific requirement to price to. Task orders where the pricing competition truly takes place. And, you know, I guess, you know, you're talking three price points, right? The schedule mm-hmm. contract, the BPA, and then a task order competition for a specific agency requirement. Mm-hmm. And I think the government would get just as good an outcome, maybe a better outcome if it went from the two price points, the schedule contract, specific requirement competed amongst schedule contractors.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that is one of the reasons why the coalition has recommended that the government does not pursue the government-wide BPA level, because you can go from the contract level to a good point at the task order level. And what I think is really needed is some tools for the agencies to use so that they can get more savvy about developing the requirements, more savvy about the terms and conditions. But, you know, with services, there's no opportunity for economies of scale.
I mean,
you're not going to do a manufacturing run and lower the price of your people.
Right.
And so for services, it's even a bigger problem than it is for
Products. Right.
And, you know, Carolyn, also a bigger opportunity.
Right. Yeah. Carolyn, right now we do have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more with Carolyn Alston, Executive Vice President, General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And we'll continue mm-hmm. our discussion of strategic acquisition. We'll talk a little acquisition workforce as well. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
This is an important time for the federal government, a chance for agencies to do things differently. How will you help shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we'll help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, and turn resolve into results, so you can see what's possible and make it happen. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're talking with Carolyn Alston, the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Carolyn, we were talking a little bit when we were taking the break about, you know, things like additional terms and conditions with regard to strategic sourcing and, you know, contract duplication. And, you know, I just wondered, do you have any other thoughts about contract duplication before we move on to the next topic?
No, I think it's contract duplication is going to be an issue that's around for a while, and we're just going to have to, as the coalition says, keep continuing the dialogue on it.
That's right, and I think, you know, actually, you know, Elliot Branch talked about the current. I think he talked a little bit about priorities and setting priorities, and I think contract duplication is about priorities and identifying, you know, platforms rather than have, you know, hundreds of platforms literally for the same product or service. You know, it's thinking strategically is about having the right mix of platforms and not unnecessarily duplicating costs across a federal enterprise for government and industry. And, you know, one of the things that came up a bit at the conference was the acquisition workforce and, you know, was our training conference. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts about the workforce and priorities for it.
Yes, I think that GSA talked in several different places about the amount of training that they offer agencies on its program. I think that each one of the panelists talked about training for within their various agencies for their contracting staff and actually for program managers. I think one of the good things is that the acquisition workforce is actually taken on a pretty broad definition of who's covered there. One thing that always strikes me about discussions on the workforce is how focused the training is on the FAR and what it says, the regulations and what it says. When we deal with programs that are very heavily commercial items, and there's very little discussion about the government contracting staff learning about commercial terms and conditions. And if I could make a recommendation to those agencies, one of the things that I would recommend is that training focus somewhat on what is happening in the commercial market so that people who are buying commercial items actually understand the models that the commercial sector that they're dealing with.
That's, you know, that's a great point. And I guess that sort of goes back to your observations regarding furniture acquisitions.
Yes, absolutely.
And the fact that, you know, if you've add an inch here on a table or half inch, or you request a veneer that's not a, you know, that's not basically out there and sold in commercial marketplace. If you don't understand that, you are, you know, essentially increasing your transactional cost as a government buyer.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I think one of the challenges from the government side is that contracting officers deal with so many contractors and potentially a variety of different industries. But there has to be a way of building some commodity expertise within an acquisition team. So maybe it's not every contracting officer, but there are some commodity areas and some service areas that are acquired so broadly by government agencies that I think it's worthwhile building up an expertise with on the federal side.
Well, and I guess, you know, to that point, to the extent there is that kind of training available, it should be made more widely available, right? I mean,
yes,
I
absolutely.
Think there's, you know, for example, I think, an old friend of mine, Floyd Gross, who works for the Navy CIO, he does a training on commercial terms and conditions for software licensing. And that kind of course, making that kind of course even more widely available than it is, I think it's done through DAU, I believe. You know, that course even more widely available, that type of thing would be, I think, very helpful.
Right. Yes. And I think that some of the obligation in this area is on industry to make sure that the government is aware of what's going on in their markets. And I'm actually proud of the work that the coalition does to try to provide that type of training to both our members and to any federal employees that would like to participate.
Right. Hey, Carolyn, on that, I want to switch topics to something near and dear to your heart, and that's be schedules modernization. Carolyn, as someone who worked for the government for 27 years or so, huh?
Yes,
at least. and it felt like longer, right? No, just kidding. Just kidding. And someone who worked on schedules policy and also schedules operations, you know, that's a big thing that GSA has been talking about now for a while. And I know we had a breakout session on schedules modernization that you attended, and I'd just like to get your thoughts on.
Yes, we did have a breakout session on schedules modernization, and we were lucky enough to have key members of the GSA's team that are working on these issues. We had Mark Lee from their acquisition management office, Jeff Kosis from the supply business line, and Kay Ely from the IT portfolio to all participate in the breakout session. And I guess a couple of things that they talked about were, I guess there's this, an idea floating around GSA, more than floating around GSA because Tom Sharp talked about it, organizing around acquisition areas. And I believe Tom mentioned 14 different acquisition areas that they may be looking at.
Right, so it's 14 strategic sourcing areas, I guess.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be important in looking at schedules modernization. It addresses an issue that the coalition has been involved in a lot in, and that is how the best way for managing the GSA schedules program. As you know, the schedules covers just, I can't even count them anymore, numbers of commodity and service areas. And consistency is something that is a huge value to companies participating in the program because it gives some predictability. You know, you have to build infrastructure to comply, and it would be great to just have one infrastructure to deal with as opposed to multiple ones depending on which acquisition area that you're that you're involved in. And as a matter of fact, Kay Ely actually mentioned consistency as one of the core things that she's looking for in her program. You know, it would be something that I would like to see, that GSA would have a central way of managing the schedules program. So as they move to organizing around these 14 different strategic sourcing areas or commodity areas, I would love to see some proposal in there for uniform management of the schedules program.
Right. And actually, you know, connecting it back to the acquisition workforce, I think, you know, organizing in this manner also provides, I think, a greater opportunity or an infrastructure, hopefully, that would allow the contracting folks to learn more about the market that they're dealing with, mm-hmm. right? So that, you know, with the regard to the terms and conditions and, mm-hmm. you know, unique specification requirements, they can, you know, take advantage of and actually, you know, of the leveraging the commercial market out there.
Exactly. Right? The more you know about it and the more that information is centrally available, the I would imagine the better the government can leverage its requirements. Okay.
Go ahead. You're about to say something.
Also, yeah, on one of the other areas that on schedules modernization that I'm looking forward to is a review of the pricing practices. GSA has indicated that they will look at pricing policy as they look to revise their general services acquisition regulations.
Carolyn, we can talk more about the pricing policy after the break. But we do have to take a break right now. But when we come back, we'll be talking more with Carolyn Alston, Executive Vice President and General Counsel, Coalition for Government Procurement. And you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
These days, it seems everyone's talking about the new normal. But federal agencies have a chance to define it. How will you shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. We understand what makes America work and how it can work better. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we can help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, or even change the game. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking with Carolyn Alston, Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Carolyn, you were, when we took the break, you were just about to talk about the pricing policy, and I know of no better person to talk about it since when you were at GSA, you helped you know, revise it and put it in the GSAR back a long time ago now, over 20 years ago, isn't it?
It was a while ago. And
that may be part of the point.
I think that is the point, that the environment has changed. I mean, the internet is so much more a factor now than it was then. The commercial economy is very different than it was then. So I think that there are about three opportunities for GSA and industry to work together to improve that policy. First of all, I think that there needs to be a look back at what price reasonableness actually means in connection with the multiple award schedule program. Many times now, I think the schedule is held to a higher standard than it should be in terms of pricing. And this came up at the panel. I'm not sure now which panel member articulated this, but the schedules prices are negotiated basically on a unit of one. And the ordering procedures allows you to get much deeper prices through competition at the task order stage and price reductions at that level.
So, and in some instances, it's you're compelled by statute and regulation to actually go out and do a competition amongst all scheduled contractors. That's a fundamental shift in the program as well.
It's a huge shift because now you have to see competition basically on every order over the simplified acquisition threshold.
Right. So. And it's, well, so my thoughts, and I just get, you know, I think you agree with this. I think we agree on most things, Carol, but not everything. But it's almost, the schedules, it's a framework. It is a streamlined framework for, you know, competition for, you know, and access to commercial products and services. And a more efficient and effective, the foundation, which is the schedule contract is, more flexible because you get new product on quickly, you have greater access to commercial innovations, that sort of thing. But that second level, you know, marketplace to a certain extent where you have the competitions, it's the contracts and the ordering procedures all drive to lower pricing at the order level versus, you know, people thinking you've got to get the absolute best price at the contract level.
Yeah, absolutely. And the issue is given the fact that there's a robust competition at the task order level, is it efficient or effective to try to negotiate the lowest price possible at the contract level?
The lowest price possible under the terms and conditions of the contract, which is a $2,500 guaranteed minimum, and then an opportunity to compete for orders or for subsequent orders. It's not like you're guaranteed any big volume here of work. You have to go out and actually compete, win the work, and perform if you're a contractor.
Lowest price possible given the terms and conditions is a reasonable standard. But sometimes the discussion is lowest price, period. And that, to me, is a conversation that often delays the contract, and that delays the availability of products and services to customer agencies. And I think that that is an issue that needs to be reviewed and discussed in connection with developing the next generation of pricing policy.
So you said there were three. Is that one of them?
Yes, that
what's
is
the,
one of
what's
them.
What's number two? We got to go quick.
Okay.
We're running.
Connected with that is price reduction. If there is a robust competition at the task order level, is the price reduction clause now still required? And my opinion is that it's not relevant to getting the best prices at the task order level anymore. There are other ways.
Okay.
And number three is disclosure of commercial pricing practices. I think that there is a lot of focus on transactional pricing that may not be the best way of negotiating the scheduled contract price. And I think that that is an area that
the government and industry should
look at.
Why would that be?
Well, many of the, particularly for services, the transactions are going to vary so greatly that what you need is a good framework and a good disclosure of your pricing policies and practices without necessarily disclosing individual prices on hundreds of potential labor hour categories. And for a product, you can have thousands of products on your prices. Do you really want to spend time on transactional data, or do you want to spend time
item by item, theoretically?
Right.
And the cost of that for both government and industry would seem, especially again, when there's a competition requirements at the second level. We want the program to work efficiently, effectively, and get best value outcomes for customer agencies, for the taxpayer, and the contractors. It's got to be a sound business opportunity for them as well. Creating sound business opportunities, in my view, leads to the best value outcomes for customer agencies and the taxpayer. That's what this is really about.
It has to be a good result for both. It has to be a sound business opportunity for industry, and it's got to be a good deal for the government, because if it is not, there are other vehicles out there and government agencies will not use it. So I think the balance is what is important.
So, and just to, we've got about 2 minutes left, and just wanted to, this kind of dialogue, you say government and industry working together, and I just, continuing the dialogue, which is one of our themes at the coalition, and, we're extremely appreciative of the government folks' willingness to participate in the event and their openness to dialogue, trying to find, ways to improve the system collectively, is an important thing. And I just like to get, any additional thoughts you have on that?
I think that the government people that we've worked with, whether it's GSA or Department of Homeland Security,
DOD, VA.
And VA, I have to say, is this conference, I think, was the first time we've had the Strategic Acquisition Center in one of our conferences. All of the agencies have been very good about coming and addressing our membership. So I have to want to give a thank you to all of those agencies. And we're just going to have to continue that kind of discussion, because I think we both want the same thing, and that is a well-functioning acquisition system.
Right. And, and especially now with the budget challenges that we face, there's an opportunity for a dialogue that, you know, kind of sets, you know, priorities for the acquisition system and ways to improve it. You know, I think contract duplication is a big one that should be a priority. You know, I think from a schedules perspective, you know, that, you know, adjusting the pricing policy and working through those 14 strategic sourcing areas is going to be a priority. And, you know, just, and I think it's a priority just to continue to create an environment where you can talk, right? I mean, that's got to be a priority too. So to your point, we're very grateful to the government folks for their participation in our conference. And you know what, Carolyn, I'm grateful for you for being on the show today. It was great to have you on. I want to thank my guest, Carolyn Alston, Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.